Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 417 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host Dave, and with me this week is...
To infinity and beyond!
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's been a few weeks since you've been up. What have you been up to?
Bit of this and a bit of that. I'm finding myself slightly in between certain things, but yeah. that's fine. Just to mention off the top, I did finish Extraordinary yesterday, but I popped a review out for that, which I'm sure I'll mention later. Mm-hmm. So Dune Part 2 came out. I've not gone and actually seen that yet, but Dune the first one is on Netflix if you want to go and watch that. I'm sure it's on other stuff, but you just subscribe to Netflix and then you get it that way. I've tried to watch this film twice, which is why I've written attempts down. I got further, a lot further the second time. I think the first time, I can't remember what I did or why I switched it off or whatever, but I only made it about 15 minutes in and I just kind of, I think I was a bit distracted or something. Second time, I got to, I'd say around about the hour mark, maybe. It's a very long film. It is about 220, 230, something like that, I think. So it is quite long. I'm finding it really strange as to why I can't get into it, because since Dune Part 2's come out, I've heard nothing but really, really high praise. Some people have said, like, one of the best films in the last 10 years, that kind of thing. Like, this is the next kind of big sci-fi thing. And I saw some people saying it, this could be sort of Warner Brothers Star Wars sort of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know quite how accurate that would be, but like, it's their next big kind of sci-fi thing. And okay, I obviously like sci-fi a lot and that sort of stuff, and I thought, oh, because what I was actually going to do was watch Dune 1, then go to the cinema, watch Dune 2, because it's obviously a very cinematic experience, and then probably do a podcast for the second one. But there's nothing actually I'm finding wrong with it. I just can't sort of connect to the world. I can't really connect to sort of what's going on. The characters, I think, are quite interesting, at least from what I saw. And the cast list is really, really amazing as well. You've got, obviously, Timothy Chalamet, you've got Zendaya, you've got Oscar Isaac, Josh Brolin, Thanos, of course. Jason Momoa is in there as
right,
well,
yeah.
Who obviously I've liked from Aquaman and Sea and things like that. So it's not, maybe at some point I'll be tempted to watch it a third time, but it really is one of them sort of, I don't know if it's quite foundation levels, but one of them things where you've not only got to pay a lot of attention,
yeah,
but really try and take, it's not just a pay attention thing as if look at the screen and don't do anything else. It's like, are you actually taking in the information the characters are saying and where people are going and those sorts of things? And maybe I'm just not doing that properly for some reason. I think the world's quite cool. There were some things they got to. There was like this sand desert place, and they started getting on to conversations about the it's like this thing that they're trying to get or something like that. So that they started getting to those conversations, and I realized I just sort of wasn't really taking in properly. I don't know. Anyway, have you seen Dune 1 or 2, or which one?
I haven't. No, I haven't. It was never really a franchise that I was massively interested in. I'm not entirely sure why, because of course there was an original Dune movie, which, I mean, is completely separated because it's based on the same book.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever saw the original, and I'm the age where I should probably have seen the original. I don't know. The remake just didn't grab me, or this new version. And I've heard lots of good things about it as well. And like you say, it is on Netflix. It's on Netflix for free. You can rent it from other places or buy it from other places, but it's streaming on Netflix and I should go and watch it. But for some reason, it's just not leapt out at me. And I don't know why. So yeah, I will, I'm sure, go and check it out at some point. But at the moment, no.
I think sometimes with these really long sci-fi sci-fi films. Like, I haven't quite been, even still, quite been sort of in the mood to, let's say, go and watch Rebel Moon. But then I heard with Rebel Moon that there's going to be like a longer R-rated cut. And then I remember thinking, okay, should I watch the one that's just come out or should I wait for that? But then part two is about to come out, so I don't really know what's going on with that. But yeah, I suppose sometimes with just these really long sci-fi films, you just have to fully kind of be there with it. Otherwise, you don't really take it in. But maybe I'll try a third attempt at some point. But I'm hearing nothing but really, really high praise for the second film. So hopefully it is actually that good. So the show season I recently finished, Young Sheldon, got to the end of season 6. There's now 12 episodes left with season 7. Whenever that pops up, it might not be this year. It might not be next year, because it took a very long time for this season to pop up again in different places, which is now both on, I think, Netflix and Channel 4. I think it's on both of them. Just check both of them anyway. Very, very good 6th season. They really got into some very interesting things. And it's just so interesting that if you'd said about the, not to keep mentioning over and over again, but the George and Mandy spinoff, if you'd said that was happening earlier in Young Sheldon, you'd have been like, what are you doing? But now that's like a quite obvious next step. I mean, it's very interesting, because I won't spoil kind of what happens to Sheldon, but it's something very surprising and something I don't remember being brought up in Big Bang Theory. So that was kind of an interesting step. But really, really great work with the characters. Again, I think that show is absolutely perfectly cast. I think Ian himself is really, really great as Sheldon. You get Annie Potts as Mima. She's brilliant as well. The whole cast is really great. Where they end it was in a position that, well, I wasn't sure quite where they were going to end things necessarily. We know there's one more big sort of checkpoint story to get to and probably some other stuff. So I'd be curious to see how the last 12 episodes go down. I don't think it's finished yet, but it's airing, I think, in America.
Yes,
the last
I think
season.
It is. Yeah.
It's probably in the middle of the run or something. So that's Young Sheldon, which I very much enjoyed. Just looking forward to the final season. And then we do have two in the same area. We do have two spin-offs, don't we? The George and Mandy and then one other one, which we don't know about yet.
Yeah.
So curious to see what that's going to be. Because they're all so different, I probably would watch spin-offs of all the other different Sheldon's friends. Mm-hmm. I know it's a lot of shows, but hey, that'd be cool. Game I have continued playing, I went back to after a little bit, Lies of P, which is essentially kind of a dark Pinocchio story. It's basically a bit of a Westworld take where it's sort of you play as somebody who may or may not be Pinocchio. That's not actually been quite revealed yet, but I think you're supposed to go under that assumption that this is Pinocchio, but a bit of a different version. Anyway, you're in like a London sort of looking place. The area is called Krat that you're in. And essentially, there's been a puppet frenzy. There's this guy who designed puppets to help, you know, people with everyday living and that kind of stuff. So not the exact same thing as Westworld, which was like a fantasy park sort of thing. This is more kind of, we're building these puppets to help humans with everyday life. Something goes wrong and then there's a puppet frenzy. The puppets go mad and kill, I think it's like 99% of the population. There is still a few people left alive. But then you're the special puppet that, well, not only survived, but you're trying to stop the other puppets. And then it turns into a Bloodborne, Dark Souls-esque sort of game. This one's much, much more approachable, at least for me. I've gotten almost halfway through the game. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the sort of setup of things, which is a story I'm kind of intrigued by really getting into. There's a lot of characters to talk to. Some of which you can talk to multiple times. They're giving you like lots of information about, well, their stance on things. There's no real kind of answers yet, but obviously that probably comes at the end of the game. There was a boss that I sort of defeated just before I went to play Spider-Man 2. So it left it in like a good spot for that. So that was good. I beat one of the bosses over the weekend, which was called the Rabbit Brotherhood or something. That was quite interesting and challenging. There's a way the community is a bit divided on it as to whether it's, you know, cheesing the game or not. But there's this vendor that you can go to in the game and you can pick up either like fire throwables or throwing cells. And some people buy loads of them and then kind of stand back from the boss continuously and throw them. That's not quite what I'm doing. I do want more of it because I enjoy kind of dueling off with enemies and stuff, although there's some bosses that just kind of, you know, slam around all over the place and it's a bit ridiculous. But I did some of that, so that was quite good. But overall, I'm really, really enjoying it. I think it's also just because I am intrigued as to where this story is going, and a few of these sort of NPC characters, which aren't always the most interesting in these sorts of games, are actually really interesting to talk to. I've started opening up more sort of leveling up spots and things. There's this new tree I gained access to, so that was quite good. So with a game like this, I remembered how to play it and things like that, but the actual kind of, oh, when specifically do I guard and when should I roll and like that kind of muscle memory, it took me a little bit to get back into it. And that was a bit sort of, oh god, what about if I don't get that back, I can't finish this game or something. But no, it's really, really good so far. I probably won't be finishing that anytime soon. It might be a game I am dipping in and out of for quite a long time. I think there's 11 chapters. I'm on number 6, so I'm getting there. But it's kind of, okay, the bosses and stuff are going to get harder as I go through the game. There's going to be bosses that are multi-stage and things like that. And I've got loads of weapons to go through and those kinds of things. So you don't really play these kinds of games, do you?
No, it's not my sort of thing particularly. I've heard a lot of great things about Lies of P. I mean, it seems to be going down incredibly well. The reviews have been really good of it and it seems extremely popular. It's just not really my sort of game. Those sort of straight fight games, which this seems to be. But yeah, I mean, you know, this 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 reviews all over the place for this. So if you are into those sort of things, this certainly seems like a good one to go and get.
Yeah, definitely. That might be one that, because the story is, I think, more interesting than all the other ones I've played, at least, like the Bloodborne's, Elden Rings, those sorts of things. That might be one that's worth like the YouTube cutscene type of watch, possibly. Mm-hmm. So another thing I've been watching, not the new version, but I'm still catching up through season one, is the old X-Men show.
Ah, right.
I'm continuing with that. Still got a fair bit of way to go to. I'm really like excited to get to new stuff because I just keep hearing so many good things about, like, particularly Cyclops. I've seen loads of praise in terms of what they've done with him.
Yeah.
I just have a question though, because I've looked through a few pictures and bits and pieces and stuff. So you've got the core group of characters at the moment, but I definitely know there are other X-Men. Is there any other people that are like put into this show? I'm going to say that hopefully there is, but
who's your core group in the X-Men?
So at the moment you've got I think it's Jubilee, you've got Cyclops, you've got Storm, Beast is there, obviously Professor X, Wolverine, Gambit is there as well, Rogue, and I think there may be one or two more, but that's kind of most of them. You've got people like Sabretooth who've popped up in an episode. He was hunting down Wolverine in this sort of snowy fight thing that was quite good.
You've got other people that do pop up, I think, at points in that run. Certainly, I started watching the original and then was like, I don't know whether I could go through all this. I'll just jump into the X-Men 97 and see what that's like.
See, I'm quite tempted to do that, but I know that you have gone through the old one in the past, whereas I haven't at all, so I've kind of got that old information to go and gather.
I mean, it's been so long since I watched the old ones, and I'm not entirely sure whether I watched all the old ones. I know I've seen some of it, but I don't know whether I've seen all of it. So I just jumped forward and decided to jump into 97. I mean, the 97 series, the X-Men 97 series is the new one, is actually a reasonable starting point. If you have some knowledge of the X-Men previously, just from the comic books or the films or whatever, you'll get the setup for it. Certainly that series has Magneto in it, all the same characters. So you've got Cyclops, Jean, Storm, Wolverine, Morph is in there, Rogue, Beast, Gambit, Jubilee, and Bishop as well are the main characters. I think there's some new ones that come in, and then you've got Magneto in there and you've got Professor X and Nightcrawler shows up at some point and Trask is in there. And yeah, so there are other characters that are around as well, but I don't know whether there's that many more X-Men that show up. I think Sunspot is one of the others that shows up in the new series. But yeah, I do think it's a bit of a shame that what they didn't do was go back through the original series and actually clean it up a bit. Run it through a sort of, you know, you can get up-resing software.
Right, yeah.
Because it is 4x3 resolution, so the sort of square picture, which is fair enough. I mean, that's what it was done in. But I do think that maybe you could have run an enhancement thing through that and tidied it up a little bit, because it is a bit fuzzy, that series, in terms of sort of the older animation. It's fine, and I mean, it's perfectly watchable, but I think maybe there would have been some value to
up-resing. It's got an old feel to it. Yeah,
it would have been some value to up-resing it a bit, maybe.
Didn't they do something with the Simpsons? I know the Simpsons is, well, it's nearly as old, isn't it? Yeah.
At least, yeah.
35 or so seasons. I feel like they did. Didn't they do something with Simpsons that was some sort of update?
They changed, obviously, the Simpsons as sort of the technology go up. I don't know whether they've gone back and re-rendered some of the older ones. I sort of feel like there may have been some value in doing that as a sort of promotion for the new series coming out, sort of saying, hey, we've got the original show plus we've enhanced it a bit. But They certainly did it with things like the original Star Trek. They've been through and done updated scans of it and that sort of stuff. So it's not impossible to do, but I don't know. It surprised me that given that it's Disney, they didn't do something with the original series just to sort of upgrade it a little bit. I mean, it's perfectly watchable as it is. It's just, you know, I think there might have been some value in improving the quality of the original a little bit in terms of visual quality, not the storyline.
Yeah, it's got, again, like I said, the old feel to it. Yeah. So, but I'm looking forward to getting through that. And then, because I have seen clips and parts of the new one, and it does look very, very good. And of course, that intro, you don't need to do anything to the intro, do you? So,
no.
Very good. Cool. What have you been up to?
Well, the weekend just gone, I was at MegaCon in Birmingham. So Comic Cons are starting to pop back up again. MegaCon was the first one I've done this year. It was really fun. MegaCon is the con that is run by the people that used to own MCM before MCM got sold to ReadPop. And then they made MegaCon afterwards. Really nicely done. If you ever went to the sort of old school MCMs, it has very much the feel of that. It's not quite the size of the current MCM Comic Cons. It's a little bit smaller than that, and the guests aren't necessarily as big, although as we've mentioned before, some of the guests for MCM haven't been great, particularly in the at the May show. Really interesting people though. I mean, you've got Devorah Wilde and Tracy Wiles, who are two of the voice cast for Baldur's Gate 3, Amita Suma and Freddie Carter, who are two of the cast of Shadow and Bone, which very, very popular Netflix series. Not popular enough to keep it around, unfortunately, but popular Netflix series.
I was actually just trying to think then, is that still actual or not? I honestly couldn't remember.
They sort of cancelled it, but they had two seasons which I think covered a story, and they were going to do another thing which was based on, I think it's Six of Crows, which is a spin-off thing that they were going to do, and then they decided they weren't going to do that. So I think they sort of completed the story in those two seasons, but there was supposed to be more of it, and they decided not to do more. Mark Thompson, who's a voice actor from a whole bunch of different things. Chris Hackney, he's another voice actor from a whole bunch of different things as well. And they had Gemma Redgrave, Janet Fielden, Sophie Aldridge from Doctor Who. They did quite a fun panel. I have got some panels going up for some of these people. I've got to edit it all yet, but got full panels going up for those. So check out the YouTube later this week. There'll be panels for them. But certainly MegaCon Birmingham, if you want a nice, fun Comic Con to go for a day out, you don't necessarily need 2 days unless there's people on specific days doing panels you want to see, but it's a good fun day out to go and check out. They're doing Birmingham, they do one in London, they do Manchester as well, I think. Worth going to check out MegaCon if you want to go and check out a good, solid, well-run Comic-Con, I think that. In terms of other things though, finale of Halo Season 2, really, really loved. I love what they're doing with that show. I know it's upset a lot of Halo fans, as we were talking about last week. If you're a big, big Halo lore fan, the TV show goes entirely in its own direction, but how they're weaving elements of the game into it, like the Flood and the Halo itself and all that sort of stuff, the finale I think was really quite epic, and they did a great job with that. Hopefully that comes back for a third season. I mean, you never know.
I'm curious to see if that gets renewed.
It has seemed to have gone down really, really well. I mean, yes, there was a lot of hate out there when the first season came out because Master Chief takes his helmet off and all that sort of stuff. But as I mentioned last week, I think they've kind of gone, well, we've lost those people anyway. We're just going to do our own thing. Because, I mean, they take his suit away from him for like 3 episodes this season, like entirely. So the people that are with it are enjoying it as a sci-fi show that happens to be based on a video game rather than being massively, massively into the video game. I think as a sci-fi series on its own that happens to be based on a video game property, I think they're doing a really good job with it. 2 seasons, good, solid sci-fi show. Worth going to check that out, definitely. Have you watched any of that? I can't remember where you sit with Halo.
No, I haven't been on Paramount Plus for a bit, but I have got some stuff over there to watch. It's just a matter of time before I'll probably definitely go back over there when, when's Discovery back? Is that next month? Star Trek Discovery.
Early next month.
I'll probably go on there and then I'll catch up, because I've got the other Star Trek Strange New Worlds to catch up with.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that's on there is Twisted Metal as well, which we talked a little bit about last week.
Yes.
I've been through the whole of that. I really, really love that show. It's silly, over the top. It shouldn't really work because it's based on a Demolition Derby video game, which doesn't have a plot. And what they've done with that to turn that into a good, interesting, fun, mental story of this guy who is this milkman that, you know, is in a post-apocalyptic world. Milkmen are basically delivery drivers, and he's delivering between these various enclaves, and he gets this mission that was like, if he does this mission and gets back in time, they will let him move in and live in this enclave. That's what he's been promised, rather than being out on the road. So that's the sort of road movie bit of it. He's trying to make this delivery, and the characters that he meets along the way. But the way they've managed to put elements of the video game and characters from the video game and bring it all to a great conclusion at the end of the first season. I know it's coming back for a second season, and it deserves one as well. It's just a fun, over-the-top series. Really, really, really well done. A superb adaptation of a show which shouldn't really work, but does. Twisty Metal, also worth checking out on Paramount Plus as well. The one new show that I did get to this week was Three Body Problems. Have you looked at this yet? This is the new Netflix series.
No, I've seen it going around. I saw a trailer or something, but I haven't clicked on it yet.
It is from David Benatoff and DB Weiss and Alexander Wu as well. But David and DB are the two people that were behind Game of Thrones. As I mentioned last week, I was somewhat skeptical going to this, given what they did with Game of Thrones. It is actually really, really good, which I'm glad, because it's a much loved book that it's based off, or trilogy that it's based off. So they have got stuff to work with, which is good because they need that. It also slightly annoys me because it just compounds how much they gave up on that final season of Game of Thrones when they could do something that is this good, you know? So equal parts, I'm enjoying it, but it also slightly irritates me even more about the Game of Thrones thing. However, the show itself is quite a tricky one to sort of explain. Basically, physics is going wrong in this world. It's based in our reality, but things have started to go wrong with physics. They're using sort of particle accelerators and stuff and getting results that just shouldn't happen. And there are various other things in other elements of physics that are just off kilter, and they're getting things that just shouldn't be happening in it. So that's sort of where we start. And there is a bunch of physicists and other scientists that are randomly seemingly committing suicide, and they're trying to find out why. There is a government department that is investigating this. The officer guy that is investigating this is played by Benedict Wong, plays Wong in the MCU, so you'll know him from there. He's great in this. He plays this sort of worn, not cop, but he's working for this super secret government department. You've got Liam Cunningham in there, who plays his boss as well, who you'll know from Game of Thrones. John Bradley from Game of Thrones is also in there as well, who played Samwell Tarly. He makes an appearance in here. So it's a really good cast. Jonathan Pryce as well, he's also in there, who you'll know from a million different things. So it starts off with this sort of physics starting to go wrong, these scientists all topping themselves. There's this investigation go on. You're following this group of friends who are scientists as well, and they're trying to figure out what is going on. There is a weird, very futuristic gaming headset that turns up, which some of the scientists appear to have been playing, and whether that ties into it. There's sort of lots of other stuff going on, but it's a really, really complex and interesting story they're dealing with, and they're handling it really, really well. I'm about 4 episodes into the season at the moment, and there's 8 episodes, so I'm sort of halfway through. I am very much enjoying it. I don't know whether it'll get brought back for a second season. I believe there are 3 books, so it's not necessarily a huge commitment for Netflix. If it goes down okay, there is possibility that I could see Netflix going, okay, this is going all right, we'll order the other 2 seasons and then we're done. Because I'm assuming they're doing a season a book. But I hope that it goes down well enough for them to be able to finish it, because it'll be frustrating if they don't. but it is Netflix, so I'm always a bit wary of that. They seem to be doing a good job with it. It's just somewhat annoying that that compounds the fact that it shows how much they gave up on that final season of Game of Thrones, really.
It's funny, this idea now of anytime the two of them get mentioned to work on anything, everyone gets like almost scared of, like, oh, it's those two.
Yeah.
From what I understand from Game of Thrones book readers, is seasons 1-4 was more book-based, and then 5-8 was where they had to take the reins a bit more. They had like a guide or whatever it was, but that was where the books hadn't been written, and then that's where people feel like it started to take a turn and stuff. There's still some brilliant things in there from seasons 5-8. Obviously, it's particularly the last season, if not the one before, that people have an issue with. But okay, they messed up in a particular way. That doesn't mean that they can't go and work on something else, like something, especially something like this that's completely unrelated to Game of Thrones. But even when it was a case of, oh, they're going from Game of Thrones to Star Wars, oh, they're going to mess up Star Wars, it's like, we don't even know what they're doing yet. You got to give them, I understand if you've got a bit of a different example, so anyone that's coming to mind, it's not like if, let's say, Konami's making a game or something, and you go, oh my god, they haven't done anything for years, and they mucked up this, they mucked up that, and they build like a track record. It was only one show that, because of various reasons, they didn't end up finishing properly, or however you'd want to put it. Even to the point as well where House of the Dragon was coming out, which again doesn't have, it's obviously it's related to Game of Thrones, but doesn't have the same characters, and also didn't involve those two, and there were still people that were scared of, oh, the final season of Game of Thrones is messed up, I don't know if I'll watch this. And it's like,
yeah,
okay, I get it's got the Game of Thrones sting still on it, but it's not got those two, and it's also a prequel, which is set way before, so I don't know, there seems to be almost be like a scared nature of, oh my god, it's those two working on it, it's automatically going to be bad. But I'm glad to hear, like you said, that you're enjoying this and stuff, because we have to give them a chance on other things, because they need to work. So they need projects.
Yes, I guess. As I say, for the first seasons of Game of Thrones, whilst they were interested in it, they did a very, very good job adapting that book. Yes, they made changes for the book, but as we said before, the book's the book, the TV show's the TV show, the movie's the movie. They have to make changes to make it fit. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Like, I mean, Three Body Problem, they have, I think, dramatically changed it from the book, because a lot of the original is set directly in China, whereas this has slim of it set in China, but the rest of it is set, well, England and various other places. So they've moved the characters around to make it a more sort of global appeal to it, which makes perfect sense for the show, because I don't think they wanted to do the whole thing in Chinese either. They wanted to be able to sort of do bits of it in English to make sense. So I get why they've done that. And I think they've done a really good job of making a compelling series so far. And it's a very interesting, complex series that they're making. And they have done a good job with it. As I say, it is a completed series as well. So if they do the three seasons of it, there is stuff to work from. So it is worth going to check out. And it is up now on Netflix, all the 8 episodes of the first season. So you can go and check that one out. On Gaming Front, I recently picked up in early access at the moment called Mind Over Magic. And if you've ever played Oxygen Not Included, it's sort of that, although not as complex in terms of science stuff that you have in Oxygen Not Included, because there's a lot of stuff with gases and materials and having to use particular materials to build certain systems and that sort of thing. But that's the closest thing I can sort of relate it to. There are differences. Oxygen Not Included, your astronauts dumped on a space colony. With Mind Over Magic, what you're doing is you're building a school for magic. So a sort of your own Hogwarts is the idea of it. You've got various rooms have various different properties. Depending what you place in them, they have to be built in certain ways. So you're building this in this land which has this fog that creeps in from either side of the map, and you have to do a ritual every day to push the fog back, otherwise it starts kind of covering the map for you. So the more that you do the ritual, the further back you can push the fog, and it uncovers more of the map for you to be able to go and get more resources. There is also an underground area under the school, which you can go and explore as well. And there is a little fairly straightforward and easy turn-based mechanic in terms of the fighting in there, where you take some of the teachers and some of the students, if you want, from the school and go down and get rid of the monsters out of there. And it's sort of a turn-based combat system for that, which is fairly easy to sort of play and work out with. But if you like building games, and you like things like, you know, Harry Potter and Hogwarts and that sort of stuff, this is a really, really fun one to go and play through. You can sort of build your own school, design it how you want, pick out the rooms and hire students and hire teachers and build this school up. As I say, it's in early access right now, so I don't quite know what the end game is for it. I don't know whether they've actually revealed that at the moment. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly a fun thing to play around with. Relatively cheap. It's $18.99 at the moment, although I think there have been deals on it. But you can go and find that on Steam. It's certainly one that I've been enjoying playing through and messing around with, because I love Oxygen Not Included. I still love Oxygen Not Included, which is a great game. Certainly one to go and look at, I think. That's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. First is actually a re-cancellation, unfortunately, Uncoupled, which was the Neil Patrick Harris comedy, which was on Netflix. Then Showtime said they were going to save it for a second season. And now Showtime have changed their mind about that and they're not making a second season. So it sort of got re-cancelled or cancelled twice, which really sucks. I mean, that's harsh, because Neil Patrick Harris is great. I didn't actually see the first season of it, unfortunately. It's about a man who dating life had sort of fall apart, or his relationship had fall apart. Gay man in New York, I think it was. Unfortunately, that's not going to be now coming back again, which is a real shame. Do you see any of that? I don't know.
No, I think I went to watch it a couple of times and then it just kind of not disappeared off Netflix, but it just stopped showing up. So. Yeah.
Another cancellation over on Nickelodeon in the US. It's a show called Erin and Aaron, apparently cancelled after one season. I have no idea whether that airs over here, but I thought I'd mention it, seeing that it was one of the cancellations. And the other one just announced today, which really hurts and is a monumentally stupid decision, but The Lazarus Project cancelled after two seasons by Sky in the same month where Papa Residue has just got nominated for a BAFTA for his role in the show. Really makes no sense to me, that cancellation, at all, because it's a great show. It's on 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. The reviews have been fantastic. It's generally loved by everybody that's seen it. Maybe there's just not enough people watching it. I don't know.
It also gets pushed really hard by Sky as well. Like when the second season was around, a lot of their like Sky TV adverts, because it's got a lot of different departments, but the TV side, I remember seeing like a lot of adverts for it at the time. So that's really quite surprising to me, because I thought this was one of their biggest sort of shows that they had.
Yeah, it was a big original UK sci-fi series. I don't understand that at all. That is such a weird decision to me. They've not given a reason for it, but it does seem to have been confirmed as being correct. I mean, it was an article in The Sun, but there were quotes from Sky directly saying, you know, we'd like to thank everybody involved in the two seasons. So, it seems genuine that they have actually cancelled it. Plus, Joe Barton, who is the writer behind it, posted something about sort of being thankful for what you have, even if it's now gone, or something along those lines. So it seems to be genuine, unfortunately. I was shocked by that decision. That's a really, really odd one, particularly as the second season hasn't even gone out in the US yet. It's a very, very odd decision to make. Apparently that's been canned after two seasons, which is really frustrating.
See, the thing is as well, with them losing like some of the ABC shows, like the 911s and Grey's Anatomy, that you know, those sorts of ones. And then all this talk there's been for a bit of time of like a HBO UK.
Yeah.
And of course, you've got all the HBO, like Last of Us and Game of Thrones, House of Dragon, all those sorts of things. And although this will take a while to do, if you do, in a couple of years' time, if you do end up losing the HBO stuff and all the ABC stuff, you really are going to need some more original content, and this could have been a really big one for that, especially considering for a long time Sky was kind of the big home of those sorts of things. And if you're going to be losing some of those big shows, which is kind of a big part of Sky's TV section, then you're going to need a lot of original content, and you're going to need it quite quickly, I think.
Yeah.
It's funny the way Sky operates. It's almost like multiple departments within one thing, because you've got like the Sky Cinema is treated as a separate thing, Sky Sports treated as a separate thing. In fact, on the Now app, you pay for those three things completely separately.
Yeah.
Which is a bit annoying, but yeah, if those things happen in the way I just described, you're going to really need some originals. And particularly in the sci-fi space, that could have been something that was, I already thought it was something that was really big. So that's really surprising.
Yeah, completely agree with you, particularly as all signs at the moment point to them losing the HBO content probably by the end of this year or certainly next year. I think the license is either up at the end of this year or at the start of next year. So they are probably going to lose that HBO content. They may do a deal with HBO to keep the Max app, assuming that's how they launch it, but they may do a deal for that. But I mean, it sounds like they're going to lose the HBO content directly. I mean, that hasn't been confirmed one way or another, but certainly a lot of signs are pointing to that. And if that is the case, like you say, they are going to need more content. And this seemed like a big show that you could have kept for that as an original piece of work. And it's well reviewed. You've got a BAFTA nomination for the lead actor in it, and you cancel it. It's just very, very strange. On to happier things, though. Renewals. The Way Home has been renewed for a third season by Hallmark Channel, so that will be coming back. NBC, and a surprise to absolutely nobody, has renewed the One Chicago series, so Med, Fire and PD are all coming back. They've also renewed Law & Order and Law & Order SVU. They're getting new seasons. The only one that's in the balance at the moment is Law & Order Organized Crime, which is in limbo. It's not to say that it won't come back, but they haven't made a decision on that one at the moment. There has been a lot of issues behind the scenes on that, in that I think it's in season four and they've had six showrunners. Some have left because they wanted to move on to other things. Some have left because of creative differences. But yeah, I mean, it's not been smooth sailing behind the scenes on that, by the sound of things. Whether that's factoring into it or not, it is the lowest rated of all the Dick Wolf series. So out of the One Chicago's, the Law and Orders that all run on NBC, that is the lowest rated one. And it's also the one that they've had the most trouble with. So I sort of get why they're taking a bit more time. I mean, maybe it's just a case of they're trying to make sure that they don't go churning through showrunners again. I don't know. But they've not made a decision one way or another for that. As I said before, we are hurtling towards May when we will get all the renewals and cancellations. The upfronts start on the 13th of May. So we should know all the renewals and cancellations probably by the 10th, or certainly a majority of them we should know by the 10th of May. We'll wait and see with that one. Another big drama that's got renewed is the NCIS Sydney. That has been renewed for a second season by CBS, and that will be coming back. So that's the NCIS, but set in Australia. I think that's a co-production with an Australian broadcaster as well. That will be coming back for a second season. And SkyMed renewed for season three by Paramount Plus, they have said. So that's another medical drama. I think Canada, I think that one is. That's got one of the Ashmores in it. It's got Aaron Ashmore, and he's up to series regular for the third season as well. So there's going to be more Aaron Ashmore in the third season of SkyMed. Some good renewals in there. I mean, the big franchise shows are no great surprise that we're starting to get renewals for those in. We're going to get more and more renewals over the next few weeks as we head towards that May deadline. In terms of pickups and advanced air dates, House of the Dragon, as we mentioned earlier, that has now got an actual air date. Monday, the 17th of June at 2 a.m, simulcast with the USA. That is going to come to Sky Atlantic and onto Now. 8 episodes for the second season of House of the Dragon. I'm looking forward to that coming back. They released some dueling trailers with the idea, because obviously there's a big sort of battle brewing between the various factions. So they released two different trailers based around the two different factions on the show at the same time, doing things from slightly different perspectives, which I thought was kind of a fun way of doing it. But 17th of June, that will be back at 2 a.m. They'll then have a later broadcast in the evening. But if you want to set your recorders for it, it will be then. The BBC has picked up some stuff from NBC as well. All 9 seasons of Suits, they will be going on to BBC iPlayer at some point, which, I mean, don't need to tell you what Suits is. I think everybody knows what Suits is at this point.
Yeah, apparently so, yeah.
They are, of course, still working on the potential spin-off, which is only a potential extension of the Suits universe, Suits LA, which is sort of not a direct spin-off. It's spin-off in the way that you had NCIS LA, in that it's a similar idea, but with entirely different characters. That is still in contention, may or may not get picked up. We don't know at the moment. They're shooting a pilot, I think, right now for that. They picked up a couple of other things, though, as well. One of them is called St. Denis Medical. It hasn't actually started in the US yet, but it's a new workplace comedy set in an underfunded, understaffed Oregon hospital. The dedicated doctors and nurses are trying their best to treat patients whilst maintaining their own sanity. Stars Wendy McClendon Covey from The Goldbergs, Alison Tolman from Fargo and a bunch of other things, Joss Lawson from Superstore, Meki Leeper from A Sex Life of College Girls, Kaloki Kanuai from Superstore, Kay and Kim from 911, David Alan Greer from Colour Purple as well. It's written and exec produced by Justin Spitzer, who was the person that was behind Superstore, along with a bunch of other people that were involved in Superstore as well. So it is basically the Superstore team, but it is a medical comedy. Thought this might be up your street, because I know how much you love Superstore.
Yeah, me and Gray, I think, both very much enjoyed that. Obviously, some of those same people, not all of them, went from Office to Superstore. So you've kind of gone from Office to a Superstore to now a hospital. So we'll see how that kind of goes. But yeah, that could be a good one to do for that again. I think we're, again, kind of lacking. I know this isn't the same sitcom conversation as what we've had before, but in terms of those similar types of comedies, we still don't have loads of them. So it'd be good to kind of see that come back. So hopefully that'll be good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the last big medical comedy that springs to mind is Scrubs, probably.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, certainly in terms of the US ones anyway. I did read an interesting little bit of information about Scrubs, actually, just on a side note. You know, in the last season of Legends of Tomorrow, Donald Faison popped up a Booster Gold in the very last season of Legends of Tomorrow. They were apparently talking to Zach Braff if they had moved forward with it. Booster Gold as a character has a little robotic sidekick called Skeets, and they'd apparently talked to Zach Braff about the possibility of voicing Skeets for Booster Gold had they moved forward with more seasons of that. So that would have been really fun. It's such a shame that that didn't get a chance to happen, but yes, just as a little side note, I thought that was kind of interesting, since we mentioned Scrubs. The other thing that BBC have picked up is something called The Best Man, The Final Chapters, which is based on a Universal film franchise, which I have to say I wasn't aware of, but from Malcolm D. Lee. Catches up with Harper, Robin, Jordan, Lance, Quentin, Shelby, Candice, and Murch. The series explores how each of their relationships have evolved and how past grievances resurface in the unpredictable stages of midlife crisis meets midlife renaissance. So I'm completely unaware of that film franchise, but if you like that film franchise, there is a TV series which follows the same characters. They've picked that up as well, which is a good thing to dump onto iPlayer. I'm sure there will be some interest in that as well. It's St. Denis Medical, I thought, was quite an interesting one, given that it hasn't even aired in the US. Suits obviously has been out for a long, long time, and Best Man Final Chapters have also been out on Peacock for a while in the US, I think, as well. But St. Denis Medical is a new NBC show which hasn't aired yet, so we don't know when that's going to land here, but it's going to be a while, because it will go on as a box set, so it won't air here until it's gone out in the US. Paramount Plus also made a bit of a surprise announcement for Arc, the animated series, which is an animated adaptation of the massively popular video game Ark Survival Evolved. Ark, the animated series, is a sweeping saga spanning eons of human history when the 21st century paleontologist Helena Walker finds herself resurrected on a mysterious primal island populated by prehistoric beasts. She must learn to survive with her new allies throughout time whilst trying to uncover the true nature of their strange world. With this show, the voice cast is insane.
That's very good, yes.
It's yeah. Michelle Yeoh, so Everything Everywhere All at Once, which, fair enough, Michelle's done a number of voices. You think, okay, fine. But Russell Crowe, Gerard Butler, David Tennant, Jeffrey Wright, Elliot Page, Madeline Madden, and Vin Diesel are the voices for it. You're like, that's That's a ridiculous A-list voice cast. But seriously, I mean, that's a crazy, crazy cast. They've announced that is going to be airing on Friday, the 19th of April on Paramount Plus UK and other Paramount territories. Has actually already dropped in the US on Paramount, which was a bit of a shock. They just kind of randomly threw it up there last week. But yeah, 19th of April, it's going to be dropping in the UK. I've played Ark a little bit on the video game. It didn't really grab me.
I'm kind of curious about this, yeah, because I always remember it was at some Xbox showcase thing, probably I don't know how many years ago, and they showed Ark for the first time, and I remember being completely blown away. But it turns out that trailer was from not a version of the game, but a point in the game where like they had these dinosaurs they were riding on, they had these spears that they were throwing, that it was the fully formed thing, as opposed to when you start the I think there's different versions of these games, but when you start the first game, you have like some pants and you have your fist, and then you just you go from there, and then you start getting attacked. And I remember that didn't go down well until they sort of updated things later.
Yeah.
I also remember they put out a Switch, I think it was a Switch version, which was like really, really horrible or something. But converting what could be cool about that world to somewhere where you don't have to grind and build stuff. So in this show, which you can just press play and watch, coupled together with this voice cast, could potentially be a very, yeah, very good, maybe a bit of a better version of what you ended up with there. So I'm curious about that, yeah, to see what that looks like.
Yes, it was interesting. When I posted this, somebody posted underneath saying, I tried the video game, I gave up on it because I died a lot. And I seem to remember that being my reaction to it. It was I just got really fed up because I kept on getting killed in it. And I was like, I know. I mean, I like those sort of games generally, you know, which is the survival sort of building games. But that I really, really struggled with. I think it's an interesting enough world. And it is hugely, hugely popular, that game. So yeah, an animated series with that voice cast, I think he's going to be quite an interesting one. But yeah, Friday 19th of April, that's coming to Paramount Plus if you want to check that out. Disney announced that they are bringing Tracker, which is the Justin Hartley series that has been going down a storm in the US on CBS. They've announced a date for that in the UK, 3rd of April. That is landing on Disney Plus UK. This is Justin Hartley as Collis Shaw, a lone wolf survivalist who roams the country as a reward seeker, using his expert tracking skills to help private citizens and law enforcement solve all manner of mysteries while contending with his own fractured family. Series is based on the best-selling novel The Never Game by Jeffrey Deaver. This sounds a little bit like Reacher to me from that description. I don't know whether there is actually any similarity or not because I've not seen it, but I know the show has been on CBS. It got picked up for a second season as well because it has just got massive numbers for CBS. It's been a huge, huge series. I'm glad that Disney are bringing it over here. The reason it's Disney is because it is a 20th century television series. So that's why Disney have it over here and it's not gone somewhere else.
Right.
As along with Justin Hartley, who of course you'll know from This Is Us and Smallville, it's got Robin Wiggert from Big Little Lies and Sons of Anarchy, Abbott McKenney from Work in Progress, Eric Grace from Lock and Key, Queer as Folk, and Fiona Reeney from Lincoln Lawyer and I Know What You Did Last Summer are also in there as well. I'm quite interested in seeing this because I think, like I say, it's been going down incredibly well in the US, so I think this could be one to check out. But 3rd of April on Disney Plus for that one. Any interest in this?
Maybe. See what a trailer looks like, I suppose.
Yeah, there are trailers kicking around for this because, as I say, it's been out for a while. One worth, I think, going to have a look at, certainly, but it's called Tracker. And Dead Boy Detectives, which has got thrown around all over the place, but it's finally landing on Netflix on Thursday, the 25th of April. We have seen a little bit of these characters, although played by different actors, because they popped up in Doom Patrol. Basic premise for it is, do you have a pesky ghost haunting you? Have demons stole your core memories? You may want to ring the Dead Boy Detectives. Meet Edwin Page, played by George Rextrew, and Charles Rowland, played by Jaden Revy, the brains and brawn behind the Dead Boy Detective Agency's teenagers born decades apart who find each other only in death. Edwin and Charles are best friends and ghosts who solve mysteries. They will do anything to stick together, including escaping from witches, hell, and death itself. With the help of a clairvoyant named Crystal, played by Cassius Nelson, and her friend Nico, played by Yuu Kitamura. They're able to crack some of the Mortal Realm's most mystifying paranormal cases. As I said, we saw a little bit of these characters in Doom Patrol, and it was going to be going out on Max originally, and then Max decided that they didn't want it. It got moved to Netflix, so it's the Doom Patrol people that are behind it, but it's been made for Netflix, and they've integrated it as part of the Sandman universe that they've got over on Netflix, which makes sense because the characters are part of the Neil Gaiman Sandman universe anyway. So it sort of makes sense it being there and being part of that universe. Whether there'll be any crossover with Sandman, I don't know, but it's an interesting one that I'm quite looking forward to this because I do like those characters and I think it's an interesting setup. And it's another YA drama, which, you know, Netflix had a million of, but I think this has some name recognition to it, and the fact that it's attached to Sandman, I think hopefully we'll get more interest in it and maybe make it get a second season, but we'll have to wait and see. But Thursday, 25th of April, that's landing on there.
Yeah, I wondered if this was going to be the show I thought it was going to be when you started mentioning it, and it is. I'd almost kind of forgotten about it, but the point with that is, I suppose, because with DC's content, we've either had the DCEU that's just finished, with those last films, or their shows have been final seasons or just cancelled or just whatever. It's a little bit difficult to tell with some of the old stuff what was going to stick around and what wasn't. And then the DCU became more apparent than that. But I guess, like I said, this is a bit of a different thing. And if it does fit more in with the Sandman thing, which is more ongoing over on Netflix, that makes sense. But just one that I almost sort of forgotten about until you mentioned it. So
yeah, I mean, it's interesting with DC because you have got that Sandman universe, which is sat on Netflix and is sort of its own thing, because although it is technically DC, it comes out of the Vertigo comic stuff, so it is a sort of separate entity. You've got that running on Netflix, which I think is great, and then you've got the Batman universe thing, and then you've got the main DCU as well. So there are sort of a few different camps for DC, which is fine. You know,
did you see the Batman got delayed till October 2026?
Yes, I saw that got pushed back.
Quite insane.
It's crazy how far back that got pushed, but yes, because I think that's the second time it's been pushed as well.
When did that, was it 2021?
I can't remember.
Or 22, it was one of those years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a while since the original came out, and then I think somebody mentioned that Robert Pattinson is the age that Christian Bale was when he started Batman as well.
I saw someone say something like that. You'd obviously pick the young actor and then you build off them for however many years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not as young as he used to be.
And I mean, it doesn't help if you're going to delay the movies by like 5 years in between each one, you know, so... Yes, I was sort of middling on that Batman film. I know there's a lot of love out there for it. I sort of need to go and watch it again, I think, because it didn't grip me as much as some of the other Batman stuff out there has. I am rather more excited for Brave and the Bold, the one that's going to be in the DCU, because of the fact that that sounds like it's going to be more current comic book Batman, where there is an established Bat family. He's older. You've got Nightwing. You've got Robins in there. And that's the version of Batman I really do want to see on screen that we haven't seen yet. It's always been Batman very much as a sort of solo character. And in the comic book, he isn't as much these days. There is a big Bat family around him. So I'd like to see that version on screen. And it sounds like the DCU version is going to be that version. That's the one I'm sort of more interested in, the sort of dark, gritty Batman. Yes, he needs to be dark, but I'm fine with them doing that. I mean, that's the thing with Batman, there are very, very different versions of him in the comic book as well. So I have no issue with them doing different versions of him on screen. But that actual current day comic book version, we really haven't seen on screen. That's the version I kind of want to see.
Yeah.
There was one other news story which pops up, which I found really interesting. The medical drama New Amsterdam, which starred Ryan Eggold, and I absolutely loved. It was really well put together medical drama set in New Amsterdam Hospital, which is in New York, and is the only kind of publicly owned, in quotes, sort of free hospital in America, I think. It kind of got quite an abrupt end for the initial thing. They did manage to put a season finale to it, but it was one of those situations where I don't think they knew until sort of halfway through that final season that that was going to be the final season, and they kind of cobbled together a finale for it. So it was a little bit like truncated and didn't really feel like it was building as much to a finale as it possibly should have been. I was really sad when NBC decided they weren't going to bring that back. However, it did set up something quite interesting in the finale, and that's what they're now developing a spin-off for. So in the original series, the finale had some flash forwards in it, which saw Molly Gregg, who was in Servant and Dr. Death and Prodigal Son, play a grown-up version of Luna, the daughter of Max, Ryan Eggold's character. And she was now the medical director of New Amsterdam Hospital. So it was set sort of, you know, a number of years in the future. They'd kind of set that up in the finale. And now what they're doing is working on something called New Amsterdam Tomorrow, which is from the original series creator. So set 30 years after the events of the original series, as Luna steps into her father's role as medical director of New Amsterdam, the show would explore the ways in which artificial intelligence would help advance medical industry in the future. There is a, I don't want to say sci-fi, but it is set in the future. So they are going to be able to do sort of slightly more interesting, rather than it just being a straight medical drama. They are going to be able to use cutting edge, interesting medical techniques in there. So it's an interesting concept, I think, for that. We don't know whether Molly Griggs is going to come back to the role of Luna or whether they'll end up recasting it, because obviously she's not under contract. So it will sort of depend, I think, on her availability, I would have thought. And we also don't know whether Ryan Eggold will make an appearance. I mean, he's set 30 years in the future. We don't know what happened exactly to that character. We don't know whether he was alive or dead or in 30 years in the future. I think when we last saw him, he was off to work for the World Health Organization in Geneva, and that's in Switzerland. So he may not even be in the US, but there is a possibility that you could see a sort of aged up version of Ryan Eggold make a guest appearance in this. If the character is still alive, we don't know. But yeah, I think this is kind of an interesting idea being developed by the original show creator. So it's the same people behind it. Chances are it'll have a similar feel to it. And it's got this interesting thing of it being set in the future, so they can play around with some of the medical technology a little bit more and sort of investigate this sort of AI and this future thing. Kind of intriguing by this. Any interest in this?
Didn't see the original show, but the idea that you've described it does sound very interesting. Something a little bit different from what you do normally get, because there is a lot of medical shows out there.
Yeah.
See, all of them aren't all the exact same thing, but the whole AI future thing could be a very, very interesting angle to take. From what it sounds like you've described there as well, again, I don't know anything about the show. It's a bit of a passing of the torch, which is something that A, I like, and B, you don't really see in a lot of things. And I mean, literally changing the lead character from somebody who hypothetically becomes a parent to their child when that character becomes old enough, and then you move it forward, mm-hmm. which we don't see in a lot of things. It's got some interesting things going for it. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, it is only a pilot at the moment. I don't know whether it's even got as far as a pilot. They are developing it as a potential spin-off. So we'll have to wait and see whether NBC decide to pick that up and move forward.
I'm trying to think who Molly Griggs played in Servant.
Isabel Carrick, apparently.
Okay. She was the reporter in Servant, I remember now. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
We'll let you know more. It's called New Amsterdam Tomorrow at the moment. That's the title they're working under. So if they do move forward with that, we'll of course let you know. Keep an eye on the website for that. That's all the news we've got for this week. It's just some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We have Grey's Anatomy Season 20 and the seventh and final season of Station 19, both coming on the 28th of March. They'll be landing on Disney Plus. You can catch those. Taskmaster is back for a 17th season on Channel 4. That is on the 28th of March as well. That'll be at 9 p.m. Big Mood, which is a new comedy, coming to Channel 4, 28th of March at 10 p.m. They're putting that straight after Taskmaster, so they, you know, that should get some pickup from that. Comedy explores the messy pitfalls and idiosyncrasies of navigating adulthood through wicked humour, daft anecdotes and unsettling truths. That looks like it could be quite good. That's called Big Mood, 28th of March at 10 p.m. for that. American Rust Season 2. It's got a subtitle for that, but I can't remember what it is, but Season 2 of American Rust coming to Prime Video, that is 28th of March, that lands on there. The second episode of the BBC Famous 5 series, that's coming to BBC iPlayer on the 29th of March. So the first one is up on iPlayer at the moment, but second episode will be going up over Easter, so 29th of March for that. A Gentleman in Moscow, season one of that coming 29th of March to Paramount Plus, which is an adaptation of an international best-selling novel. That's got Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Ewan McGregor in the leading roles for that. So good cast behind it. I think that could be an interesting one to check out. It's about the Russian aristocracy, obviously, because it's called A Gentleman in Moscow during the Bolshevik Revolution. So if you're into that sort of thing, that would be one worth checking out. Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock, is back for a second season. That's on 29th of March. You can catch that on Apple TV Plus. Renegade Nell, which is the new series from Sally Wainwright from Gentleman Jack and Happy Valley. So great writer behind it. So about a swashbuckling adventure set in the 18th century. 29th of March on Disney Plus for that. I think that's going to be one worth looking at. And This Town, which is a limited series coming to iPlayer on the 31st of March. This is the new drama from Peaky Blinders writer Stephen Knight. Tells the story of an extended family of four young people who are drawn into the world of music and ska and two-tone set in the 80s in Birmingham. Should be a really good drama because, I mean, read Stephen Knight and he always writes decent drama. So I think that's going to be one worth checking out as well. But 31st of March, that lands on iPlayer and then it goes out on the BBC One at some point after that as well. So some good stuff, I think, this week. Interesting selection of things. This Town I will be looking at, I think, and Renegade Nell I'll certainly be looking at.
I'm still catching up on plenty of things, so yeah, I'm going to be watching some more of those.
Yeah, so if people want to find more of you, where can they find you?
You can head over to entertainmenttalk.org or podcast platforms of the same name. TV, games, films, Man United podcast. We recently eliminated Liverpool from the FA Cup. We're now in the semi-final. We've got Coventry, not Colchester, Coventry in the semi-final. Won't be an easy game, not a guarantee. Wolves thought it was going to be easy and they lost it with a minute to go. Man City got Chelsea, so those are the four teams that are left. Hopefully we can win that. I did a podcast recently, obviously Gaming Talk, we're still cracking on with that. I did a podcast about Scream 7 recently, which looks like it's going to have to explain the exits of its two main female lead characters. Good luck with that. Obviously Extraordinary Season 2 review, and there was some other stuff I put out recently as well. So there's stuff going on over there. House of Dragons coming back soon, got Doctor Who coming back soon, so that those all be good. Over on Twitch, eTalk UK over on there, I'm going to be streaming some bits and bobs and things over there. YouTube is Entertainment Talk Plays, as for the other streams, game clips, that kind of stuff. So that's me at the moment.
Cool, so go and check Matt out over on entertainmenttalk.org. For other people involved in the show, Beck's still on hiatus, so you won't find her online at the moment. And Daryl, you can find at hollywoodnorthnews.net for all those TV series that you love which are shot in Canada. For a rush, you can visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, Blue Sky at Geektown, Instagram at Geektown UK, TikTok at Geektown UK, and Threads at Geektown UK. As I mentioned earlier, there will be panels from MegaCon going up on YouTube, so go and check those out this week as well. Well, that is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.